I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Football on Off the Ball.
And sadly, Irish football, out of the 55 federations, when you line them all up, is the third most underperforming nation.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Yellow iPod on Off the Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.
Hello and welcome to this week's LOI Pod on Off the Ball. Stephen Doyle here with you as we are every week. Let's have a listen to what happened last week on Off the Ball.
Living around Dublin, get up and watch him. He's a really sort of exciting throwback. It is the only show in town, so you got to get your hair cut, and the barber sometimes know more than anyone else. Or there's a huge contingent from sort of Derry covering the game.
I think Derry City were probably annoyed that they didn't score a few more. Shamrock Rovers, on the other hand, were probably delighted that they did keep it to just one goal. That performance by Derry City at Tallaght Stadium, a really, really good one. Can they produce something similar here tonight? That remains to be seen.
The standout player for me so far tonight has been Jack Bourne. He's been, look, it's easy to say Jack Bourne has been brilliant, but he's been absolutely brilliant this first half. The intensity of his play, he just looks, he's at it. I've not seen him like this in a long time, with this sort of intensity. He looks like he's got the bit between the teeth.
To the left hand side, Bourne to Brennan. Brennan now makes a run across the end line. Pass out, and he's pulled down. It's a penalty kick. Oh, that's crazy stuff. There is no question that as a penalty, Alan Brennan wriggled away from the Derry City substitute, Conor Barr, and perhaps that little bit of inexperience showing. He dragged him back. Looks like Dylan Watt standing over this. Beach facing a second penalty in 2 weeks. He conceded one to Tommy Lonergan last week. Will he concede this? Well, he does. It's Dylan Watts. He puts it into the back of the net in front of the south stand to go over and take the acclaim. Stephen Bradley looking a whole lot happier than he was at Dalymount Park last week. He's out applauding the crowd and smiling alongside his assistant, Glenn Cronin. They're taking all 3 points here against the title contenders, Derry City.
We've been good in parts of each game that we've played, but we needed to make that a little bit more complete for longer periods, and we did that today. Look, this team responding is never in doubt. You don't do what we've done if you don't respond to setbacks, and so that was never in doubt, the character of this group.
Do you think psychologically it was a defeat, maybe, that I suppose it, coming into the season, Derry City looked at as title contenders, that this was a chance for your team to maybe lay down a marker and that you haven't taken that chance?
I think it's 5 games in, and I think there's a lot of football still to play. There's a lot of players we got to still get into the team and get fit, obviously with players missing at the moment. So I think, listen, there's a lot of work to be done. Tonight was disappointing, but we move on from it.
Yes, just to bring in the lovely strains there of the old... do you know what that tune is, Gareth McGlynn?
I do not.
What is the old team tune from Ski Sunday on BBC back in the day? Just to welcome you back off the slopes, G-Mac. We missed you last week.
Good to be back. Nice bit of rest and recovery over in France, yeah. Enjoy yourself.
Did you manage to finish that very large pint that you sent us the picture of last week?
It got very warm in the last few golf balls, but I managed to force it down.
Fair play to you. Well, it's good to have you back. Listen, let's crack straight into it. Unfortunately, our other analyst, Vinnie Perth, well, we call him the senior analyst, as Dunphy used to refer to Johnny Giles. Our senior analyst, Vinnie Perth, is unwell this week. So, listen, hopefully Vinnie's okay. He was feeling a bit off this morning, so he said, listen, put your feet up, get well, and we're going to bring in a very special super sub. It's our own Ben Symes. Welcome along, Ben. And Ben has been reporting at all the games every week. So, like myself, you know, he can give us a fair bit of knowledge on all the different different matches we'll be talking about this week. So first up, we've got St. Patrick's Athletic against Drogheda United. We're going to have a new man on the microphone at Inchicore as well, because our own Phil Egan will be making his League of Ireland debut at that game at Richmond Park alongside Vinnie Perth on Friday night. Max Mata, wow. Well, we were told when he was signed, Gareth, he was coming here to earn himself a place in that New Zealand World Cup squad. He's had a bit of an injury, concerns to start off the season or delay his season. But he gets that goal in a late win against Shelburne for Pats. Takes the shirt off. He said it's the first time he's ever taken off a shirt celebrating a goal. But like, how much is that going to help the Saints and just Mata himself going into that game against Drogheda United?
Yeah, 100%. You could see the relief. I mean, any player, and I had, I was there myself, see when you're injured, there's nothing worse than watching your team perform and not being able to do anything about it. So you could see even the goal came into the back stick. Was he favourite to get the header on the ball? Probably not, but you could see the hunger was there to get on to the end of it, head it down and put it in. And then, of course, the emotion, the relief, the joy of not being injured anymore, the shirt came off and the celebrations. But what a goal, what a time to get the goal. And it's going to be a major boost to St. Pat's. But again, Edmondson getting two goals as well in that game. I mean, when you've Keane, Edmondson and Mata all scoring goals, whew, you've some serious headache from Stephen Kenny. But yeah, it's great Mata gets off the mark, and hopefully that's, you know what the strikers are like as well. They're streaky, so they can go on runs now.
Yeah. You were at that game, Ben. Very impressed.
Yeah, I was. And I was very impressed with Pats' ability to get a result with Jamie Lennon in the midfield, which is a big one. They only had Barry Bagley and Darren Nugent as fit midfielders. Chris Forrester was out as well. And I kind of thought, if Sherbrooke can hang in here until 75, 80 minutes, they can really overload that midfield in the last 10. And Pats managed to withstand it. I was really impressed with Edmondson's performance. I had been at the Dundalk 4-0 the Friday before, and he probably left a little bit to be desired, but you could see the link of play and he was getting in the right positions. It was just a matter of putting those chances away. But for me, the biggest investment that has gone into that team that will pay off is James Brown in right wing back. I mean, the three deliveries for all three goals are outstanding, and it's not just the set piece deliveries he gives you. He is up and down that right hand flank literally all game, and he kept Will Jarvis was in left wing back for Shells, and Shells have kind of been playing this, it goes between a back four and a back five, they do or don't have the ball, and Will Jarvis didn't want to do a lot of defending, and James Brown basically said to him, you're going to do defending whether you like it or not, and it kept the threat of Jarvis pinned back, and then also going up against that player who's probably not comfortable playing in the left wing back role, it allowed Brown to push on forward more. I was really impressed. I'm looking forward to seeing when Max Mata is fully back in the swing of things. I think Max Mata and Edmondson up top could cause a lot of chaos to centre halves all over the league.
Yeah, like if you look at his best season, Sligo Rovers, like his goal scoring rate, especially that first half of 2023, there was 7 games that he didn't score in, and he got, was it 10 goals in that first half of 2023? Sensational stuff. So if Stephen Kenny can get him back to that scoring rate, it'll go a long way to helping Pats toward the top of the table. Just as well on Pats as well, I wanted to ask you, Gareth, because we've spoken before about Stephen Kenny and how well you know him. Like, is this run, these three wins in a row, going for a fourth in a row, is this just Stephen Kenny vibes, man management, or is there something in that team that you can see that is improving their results?
Yeah, well, I think getting everyone fit. I mean, Ben touched on it there. You can have people available, but if they're not flying fit, this league is unforgiving. It's so competitive. If you're not at it 100%, you can't really get away with it anymore. Back in the day, you used to be able to get away with it if you were playing against a UCD or a Fun Harps. But like every week now, you need to be at it. And I think it's about getting those players, Edmondson, Mata. We've seen Levy with a late goal recently as well. When he's on form, he is really good. He was brilliant in the first match against Boza de Aviva. You've got Palmer scoring goals, Elbazetti. I think we're now seeing more of a Stephen Kenny team. And I think Brown on the right as well will help that, because he, whether it's fullbacks or wingbacks, he likes people going that way. He does not like people going the other way. And he has no problem putting confidence in the players to say, listen, you're good enough and attacking-minded enough to go and score or outscore the opposition. And we've seen that in the last few games. I mean, 3-1-4, that's not bad. That's 8 in the last 3 games. That, if they can keep that strike rate up, he'll be very happy and they'll get plenty of 3 points.
Sean Hoare, also very important, Gareth, I think, having a fit Sean Hoare, because he had his struggles last season and he was one of those kind of key players that Stephen Kenny wanted to bring in to build this, not just around him, but to build this St. Patrick's Athletic team. He was a key block in it.
Yeah, 100%. And what you get with him is you get height, aggression. He's not that tall, but he's very good in the air and he's quick as well. And he's experienced around the league, so he knows what he's getting. And with Gravoski and Redmond in there as well, I mean, I think Redmond didn't perform to his best last year, but on his day is one of the best centre halves in the league. So I expect him to come to the fore again this year as well. Because when you play with 3 at the back, you do get a bit more protection as centre halves. Centre halves, I'm not a centre half, but I would imagine if I was a centre half, I would prefer to play in a 3 than a 2. And especially with Hoare, if he's playing either side, he's got that ability to get into the corners or go the other way as well. A big plus for Stephen, having him back fit and firing.
Can I say as well, what Sean Hoare allows you to do is you can have Luke Turner as your left centre half. Mm. And it gives him a little bit of a license to go forward as well, because we know in that wing back position, it's been either Zach Elbazedi when fit or Jay McClelland, who love to get forward as well. Mm. So Turner can kind of make you basically slot back 4 if McClelland goes forward or Elbazedi goes forward. And then he can also push in behind them as well. Mm. So when he started that game against Dundalk the other week, we were all kind of sitting up there going, oh, this could basically change that back 5 dynamic that Kenny wants to bring in. And he took him off just after half time. He got his goal against Dundalk in the first half, and you kind of thought, you worried a little bit going, is he after picking up an injury there? He's seriously unfit. But no, that was Stephen Kenny saying, I need this guy fit and firing every week, and in minutes into his legs. Mm. And I think we could possibly see them kick on even more with that solid back 5.
Yeah, go on, Gareth.
Steve, just on that as well, we always talk about centre halves with pace. I mean, any manager you talk to, when you mention a centre half, they say, can he run? That's one of the biggest things now. What that enables them to do, whether they play Turner, Hoare, Redmond as a 3, Hoare and Turner are very quick. So Redmond can afford to go and attack the ball, we know, in the boys' sweep, but it allows the midfield and then the forwards to get closer to the opposition's box. So it allows you to play 10, 15 yards further up the pitch. And what that does, it condenses the space. And then if you've got someone like a 9 who plays again 10 yards forward and sweeps up and behind, it allows you to compress the team and push them back and get that high press and create loads of quick chances at turnovers and transitions. So the pace at the back's massive to the way Stephen likes to play.
Yeah, and here, like, I didn't have it on our running order, but Anang's been brilliant. Like, he's been absolutely brilliant. And I know he was dropping a clanger or two last season. I sometimes feel as well with League of Ireland goalkeepers, you know, maybe sometimes people are expecting, you know, a goalkeeper of the quality of the like you might see in the Premier League at the weekend, or maybe in the Bundesliga or La Liga or whatever the case may be. But, you know, the standard that the League of Ireland is at, you're not going to get a perfect goalkeeper who is absolutely immaculate and doesn't make any mistakes. That's just the reality of the level of football that we watch in the League of Ireland. But, like, and I may make a couple of mistakes over the season, but he's been absolutely brilliant so far this season. And he's been a big part to the points that Pats have earned so far this season.
Yeah, and I think what Gareth touched on it there briefly, what he doesn't just give you in shot stopping, he gives you with the ball at his feet, which is so important for that back 3 as well, to get the ball out playing. And what we know about those centre halves is they're not only quick, the two ones that play wide, but they love getting the ball into feet. And if Jamie Lennon can get back fit and that ball is fizzed into Jamie Lennon's feet, then you have Jamie McClelland and James Brown making those runs in behind on the wing. And Ang just allows you to push up that further 10 yards up the pitch, and he is so good with the ball at his feet. What I've been so impressed with is not just the quality of the delivery, but how calm he is on the football. Mm. Like, when he has the ball at his feet, you don't actually feel worried that he's going to lose the ball and give it away, which you kind of would with other keepers. but also with shot stopping, probably goes a little bit under the radar because of how good he is with feet and how good that defence is in front of him. I mean, the save to stop Owen Kenny, to get Owen Kenny his dinner versus St. Pat's the other week is absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, he's been really, really good. On James Brown, when you look at it from a Drogheda United perspective, Gareth, and looking ahead to this game at Inchicore on Friday night, they're probably, like, Drogheda United are probably a good team to come up against St. Pat's if you're trying to nullify those threats out wide. If you're playing with a back five, as Drogheda United do, they could double up on a James Brown, could they, in this game?
Yeah, I think Drogheda are the kind of team that don't obviously they pay attention to their opposition, but I don't think they sacrifice their style or their way of playing for any one individual. Listen, it will be noted, the threat that he possesses, and it might be that the two defensive midfielders just playing slightly to the left hand side to try and get out to him so that they can't get those crosses in. But Drogheda, yes, the Sligo game didn't turn out really as much as they wanted it, but they've only lost by the odd goal. Like, they've only got two clean sheets as well and six, not like them. I think Kevin will be really focused and trying to get back into to keeping clean sheets. And then when you're coming up against a team that scored eight in the last three, it's going to be very difficult, because you see a lot of Pats players are firing all cylinders, but James Brown will be a threat, as will the other players, but I don't see Kevin making any special adjustments to stop him.
Yeah, because it's the first time since August that they've lost back-to-back matches. I watched Darragh Doyle's post-match interview after that Sligo Rovers game, and he just felt that they made it too easy for the Bitter Red. They didn't start the game well. There was no energy in the team. And I feel that this is the kind of perfect game for them to get a reaction. I don't think Drogheda United will be. I think they'll be up for this one. And, trip to Inchicore is always, I think a lot of teams like going there because the pitch isn't really good, Nick. But I think they'll fancy this one to try and just get back to, you know, a solid defence and getting into Pat's faces as well.
Yeah, I think also you can't forget that they went away to Sligo without any fans and without their manager. And you're going to a Sligo that really, really needed a win in a game that they would have been targeting for this. Like, to be fair, they would have been targeting for the season home games against Galway, Drogheda, Waterford, Dundalk. They're games you need to be putting up a huge fight to probably win in. And you're probably then looking at it again going, you've no fans and you've no manager coming here as well. I wouldn't be too disheartened if I'm Drogheda from that result. And like you said, I actually think it could suit them playing in Inchicore, playing on that pitch. And it's sometimes I feel Inchicore is quite narrow, which I think they could play into their strengths as well. But I have a feeling that Pat's train is going to keep on rolling on. I think when Pat's play at home, when they're in great form, it's really, really tough to stop them. And I think that result, going away from home, and I know a lot of Pat's fans, that support that they have away from home is so strong. But you're coming back into a game where three quarters of that stadium weren't there last Friday night against Shelburne. They were celebrating at home while everyone else was behind that Ballybock end in Shelburne. I just think it's too much. I think it's too much to ask. I think it's too much to ask for Drogheda full stop, to be honest.
Yeah.
To go to Pats and win this game.
It's their last eight games, Gareth. Their last eight matches between the two sides, home and away, there's been five draws. And just three wins, and the team that's won the three matches is St. Pat's. And strangely enough, two of those in Inchicore.
Yeah. No, listen, there's no doubt about it. I mean, you obviously don't know how these games are going to turn out. And as I said before, it's so competitive in the league. But you're looking at Pats, the momentum they have. You're looking at that loss to Sligo for Drogheda. Kevin Doherty will be looking to keep it tight. If you offered him a draw now, I'd say he'd take hand and all off you. But I have to say, just on Pats before we move on as well, you look at their games coming up. Obviously, they've got Derry on Monday night. But outside of that, they've got Waterford, Sligo and Dundalk as their next three games. So should Pats go and get a nice result tonight, a nice result on Monday, with those three games coming up, they'll be looking to put a run together off the back of the three victories they've already had. So, I mean, everyone hits a purple patch at some stage. We saw it 2 years ago with Shells at the beginning of the season when they won 6, 7, 8 in a row. I can't remember what it was. It really set them up for the season. Stephen will be looking at that going, we could do something similar.
Yeah, absolutely.
Di Stefano. There's always tenor when he moves. And it's 7-2. Oh, my goodness.
From the barrios of Buenos Aires to the roaring nights of Madrid, this episode traces the extraordinary journey of Alfredo Di Stefano, the visionary who redefined modern football. Born in Argentina, forged in the breakaway leagues of Colombia with Millonarios, and immortalized in Spain, he became the heartbeat of a dynasty. But what if the man they called La Saeta Rubia had taken a different path and gone to Real Madrid's biggest rivals, Barcelona? Find out on episode 6 of Richie McCormack's Sliding Doors podcast as to how European football could have been changed as we know it. Coming to you this Monday in your OTB football podcast feed for free.
Dundalk against Waterford then, Gareth, you know, and I was kind of looking at asking Vinny about the setup of, because of, obviously he knows Ciarán Kilduff really well, but of the Lily Whites. I don't know how much of you've seen, you obviously would have seen Dundalk up at Derry City. What's the kind of key takeaways you would have had from that game, just in regards to how Ciarán wants his team to play and how he sets them up?
Passion and drive. It was really impressive. Now, I have to say, I didn't know what. I've played against Ciarán. I've never seen him manage. I've never seen his teams. I was impressed, really impressed. One player I was impressed with quite a few of them, but one player that I was impressed with was John Mahon. Compared to the player that I watched for Sligo last year, and he picked up something like 11 or 12 yards throughout the season. It was just, he was always on the ground. He just didn't look sharp or didn't look fit, or I don't know what it was. He looked excellent in the Brandywell. Now, he's gone down with an injury in the last match that does not look good. He could be a huge miss for Waterford.
Yeah.
For Waterford. And Dundalk, I just like their commitment, their passion. I mean, Kilduff had them driven. Every player, it didn't matter whether it was Daryl Horgan or who it was, or McDade on the other side, especially the two wingers, being a winger myself, I was really impressed with their work rate. And then they caused a threat as well. I mean, they basically, and I don't want to say Derry made them look good, but they put Derry up with it for about 70, 75 minutes. And they were very, very unfortunate. In fact, they probably should have had all 3 points that night, and it would have been deserving. So before that game, I would have tipped Dundalk to be in the real relegation fight. After that, I was like, I couldn't pick out of the four teams who's gonna go down automatically. I see them picking off enough points to make a real fuss of it.
I was fortunate enough to get to watch Ciarán Kilduff's side 3 games in the space of about 7 days. I was at the Louth Derby and then the Shamrock Rovers game on the Monday and then the Pats 4-0 on the Friday. Not so much the Pats 4-0, I think they were just tired. I think it was 3 huge games in the space of 7-8 days. Like, you were hosting your big rivals at home in your first game back at home in the Premier Division. You're going away to the Champions and then you're going away to a Stephen Kenny outfit, which is always going to be a tough ask for any team. But especially those first 2 games, the Louth Derby and the Shamrock Rovers game, what I was most impressed with was the pressing from the front. Mm-hmm. So if you have McMullen up there, or you have Bemi Arubi, or you have Owen Kenny, who I think they probably see Owen Kenny a little bit more as a 10 rather than as an out and out forward. And I was impressed actually with him in the first half against Pats, probably playing in that position. But the press they have from the front, and then the wingers push on as well. Mm-hmm. So what they started with was Daryl Horgan on one side, and then Bobby Burns actually been playing left wing, which has allowed the two Wilsons to play fullbacks, and they've pushed on as well. And they really took advantage of that against Rovers, where I don't want to say Rovers weren't expecting, because they would have done their homework, but I don't think they would have expected them to have such a press off the back of a Louth Derby just a couple of days before. And that really set them up, especially in that game in Tala. That set the tempo from the start. And you have two midfielders who are willing to do so much hard yards and running in A. Dervin and Keith Buckley. Mm-hmm. And A. Dervin particularly, in that game at home to Drogheda, he was running around like a mad thing for the whole thing. He picked up a yellow only 6 minutes in, and he managed to keep his composure and not pick up another one in the following 85 minutes or so. But the football that's played, it's no messing, which is what I like to see from a team when they come up and they're playing to their strengths so well. And there's so many of those balls kind of played in over behind whether it goes into the striker and then goes out around to a winger, or it goes just over the top to a winger in general. I love that when a team comes up and they know, look, we can get results in these sorts of games, but we're going to play to our strengths by doing it. And that's what they've done, by really using the wings. And they haven't really played the ball through the middle of the park that much, which I think has suited them quite well. It's a bit mad that they haven't picked up a win, which is absolutely mental from their game so far.
I think that's going to be the key for them. And like, Aidan Irvine is a player I would have been really keen on from his days at Longford Town. He was smashing for them as a young lad when he's a part-time footballer. He has eventually become a full-time player. He was at Shelburne, of course, for a while as well. He's just a really, you know, a really good workhorse in central midfield, and having his youth beside Keith Buckley's experience is really good. I think Harry Groom is a player, is another man I've been kind of talking up since he was at Bray Wanderers. He came on to get a shot on target last week against Galway United. He's a player I think could contribute. He's still kind of raw enough, even at 24. That's the thing, Gareth, as is mentioned there by Ben, is these draws. How does Kieran Kilduff try and push them to getting that win over the line?
Yeah, I mean, he should have had it in the Brandywell, so I don't think he would be too despondent. Yes, of course, you want points on the board, but the actual performances have been very good. I don't think he could actually sit down and go, you know what, maybe bar the Pats game, where, as Ben says, they were probably just too much. And with coming up from the First Division as well, fitness is huge. There's no doubt about it. There is a massive jump. So in the Brandywell, can you keep doing that? Brandywell, Tallaght, Richmond, Tolka, can you keep performing at those levels week in, week out, and especially Friday, Monday? And then that's where the squad depth comes in as well. So, of course, he wants to put the one on the board and get the 3 points, as much as for the points, for the confidence of players, to show that they're not out of their depth. But the performances show you that they're nowhere near like struggling or not being able to compete. They're doing more than that. So I don't think he'll be too worried about not getting the win.
A lovely shiny new pitch to play on as well against Waterford. Just on them, Gareth, triple substitution at half time against Bohemians. Like, they were getting overrun in midfield, according to our friend of the show, Johnny Dunleavy, who was down there watching on Friday night. And then he did make the change, brought the numbers up in midfield. Bowes had to react to that one. Is it the sign of a decisive manager, or a man who is really struggling to find his best formation, his best team still at this stage?
No, I love it. I love it. I mean, we have the debate on here all the time, especially with Vinny as a manager. If it's not working, why would you stand for another 45 minutes and watch the same performance? You've got to react. I think on that clip as well, he's saying he was actually thinking about doing it after 31 minutes. So I would imagine that it was nice and decisive. He said 45 minutes, we're only 1-0 down. We can come back here in the second half, and we know the players that they have and the formation that they have, that they can create chances with Almond and Cardi coming on. So I think it's brilliant by John Daly. I mean, I was really impressed with him in the Brandywell as well. Another team that for an hour were excellent. It's just when Derry upped the tempo and created a bit of chaos, they got back into the game. But I like it. John Daly, he's an experienced guy. I love seeing that. I love seeing him just saying, listen, I've had enough. You've had 45 minutes. I ain't watching that again. Off, and let's go again to see if we can get something out of the game.
I just wonder, should he just maybe stick with the three men in midfield and go with the one player up front? Like, we've Padraig Amond still hasn't scored. I'm not sure, Gareth, if you think that's because of the setup or is it because of his own form?
I don't think, he was taken off after an hour, which was very unlike Amond. I mean, to me, you keep him on the pitch. If there's half a chance or he sniffs out a chance, he usually gets a goal. I think it was probably a bit of both. Probably John Daly trying to get the team to perform to kind of to create chances for Almond. But I mean, I don't see Almond not scoring goals. You've got a top goal scorer last year, top goal scorer the year before. That's just what he does. He looks sharp when I saw him live. And the team as a whole were creating a lot more chances. Maybe the last 2 years under the previous managers, they were too focused on Almond. What I saw in the Brandywell is all the other players were creating chances as well, and they were getting chances. I found them very dynamic, especially from the middle of the park, playing with the two tens and the two strikers. I thought they were really good at being quite direct, playing off the seconds and creating chances. They caused Derry all sorts of problems. So I wouldn't be too worried about Waterford.
He's got a goal! The Saints are marching on with three wins on the trot after a shaky start in the SSE Electricity Premier Division.
The ball comes in and they score from the free kick. Would you believe it?
Heading down the rocky road to Dublin to face St Pat's this Friday night are Doherty United.
Conor Keighley rises once again.
Doherty's men are in the doghouse after two defeats in their last two matches. Will the informed James Brown help the Saints get payback after two home draws against the Louthmen last year?
Brilliant performance for St Pat's tonight.
Vinnie Perth will be with Phil Egan at Richmond Park. It's the League of Ireland. It's live and exclusive on Off the Ball from 7 on Friday night.
That was a superb bit of play.
League of Ireland on Off the Ball.
Ben, you went to see Shells at Talca Park on Monday night as well. You're very keen on one player in particular, aren't you?
Yeah, Mr. Look,
Harry Wood.
I said this when I hopped on the news round on Monday night, he's the man to watch. And then I'd never felt so vindicated in my life after being there on Friday and then Monday again watching his performance. And it's not just the goals, the output at the end, it's what he does for Shells in his overall play. And I love when he's kind of given a little bit of a free roll off, whether it was John Martin up there on Monday night, and he's given a little bit of a free roll off him, because that's when he's at his best. When you basically give him the ball and say, what are you going to do for us? And I love when they play that back three, and it's similar to what we talked about with Pats earlier. The wing backs are allowed to bomb on, and he kind of uses them very well. And it was Daniel Kelly who played there on Monday night, and it was lovely triangles between him and whether it was Kieran McEnroy or JJ Lunny who would come over to make a bit of space for them. My one worry for them is on the defensive side of things, with Paddy Barrett and Oran Casey out, how much longer can you keep going? And it's a really, really tough run of fixtures up ahead for them. Like to have gone through Pats and then the Champions, and then you have Derry and Bowes coming up after that. If you said for the start of the season you're going to go into them without your starting two centre halves, and not just your best two centre halves, but how important Paddy Barrett is for that team and has been since he came into that team is huge. The defending from set pieces, especially that Pats game, was so poor. I think the Rovers game on Monday, it was a little bit more of a case of Shelburne probably letting them back into it a little bit. I don't think Rovers had fully made their way back into that game yet, and all of a sudden they were back 2-2. It's a poor mistake from Vestalspiel.
Yeah,
I think Joey O'Brien said that to me after really the game, and Vessels be able to tell you that himself. He would expect a little bit better from him. I just worry about that defensive end of the pitch, and going up to, like, you're going to be going up to a Derry side who, Gareth, to be able to tell us now, are going to have a rocket up behind them.
Yeah,
based on their results so far.
It is interesting, actually, because Joey O'Brien, he's pretty ruthless, because he, and look, I suppose you expect a manager to you know, he kind of had a go at Vestalspiel just about making the mistake. He didn't kind of try and protect the player in any way in the post-match. And he also had a little comment about John Martin taking that chance off Harry Wood's toe as well. So he's not afraid to call out his players in these post-match press conferences. I just don't know if that's something, yeah, maybe he's comfortable enough with saying that about his players in public. Gareth, it's interesting what Ben says about the defence as well, because, listen, they've conceded a few goals in the last few games, but they're still getting results there, like the draw against the Shamrock Rovers. They got a win against Drogheda United, fair enough, beaten by St Pat's, but it was only the odd goal in a five goal thriller. You got to wonder, how long can they keep doing this, limping along with that patched up defence?
Yeah, it's a problem, and I tell you what, it's a problem. I mean, having spent all that money on Casey, for him to get injured and Paddy Barrett, it's almost you could have got away with one of them being injured, and the other one slot in, and then you could patch it up a little bit with Ledwich and a few others. But it's right down the spine of it, you know. The partnerships takes a while to get going as well. So the current centre half partnership, they've had a few games now. They will be better for that as well. I mean, although Shamrock Rovers scored a couple of goals, I don't think they played overly bad. It's just the goals that they're leaking. If they can just shore it up a wee bit, then I think they'll be fine. And coming up to Brandywell, that pitch, it's given rain, so the ball should move a little bit better for the players.
Will that help Shells, Gareth, do you think?
I think it will.
Surface, yeah.
I think it has to be wet, Steve-O.
Yeah.
It's like two different sports. Whenever the Brandywell pitch is dry and whenever it's wet. When it's wet and it's soaking wet and it stays wet throughout the game, it's a much better surface. There's very little wrong with it. And that's the whole reason that they're trying to get a sprinkler system on it. They can't get the sprinkler system on it, so they got to rub it up. Mm. But it will help them and it will suit Shell's way of playing football.
And so you were going to say about Derry. Well, look, the thing about Derry, myself and Vinny were there on Friday. Just really uninspiring, you know. I don't know. Listen, we won't go over the James McLean thing again. I think we've said all that needs to be said there. He just didn't contribute very much in central midfield. James Clark is the one I'm kind of puzzled over the last while as well. He looked okay. He looked good in the President's Cup, shall I say. And then, you know, I don't know if you kind of have any idea, if you can put your finger on what's up with James Clark. There's obviously six injuries as well that Tiernan Lynch has to deal with. And he actually interestingly said today in a press conference that he noticed the difference between Friday's game against Rovers and the President's Cup was they weren't as good without the ball.
Yeah, 100%. And they haven't been, Steve, and I'll keep coming back to it. Tiernan Lynch is not comfortable playing four at the back. He will go to three at the back. If you look at the last 10 games of last season, Derry was probably top of the league within that time period. They played three at the back and they were very comfortable. And every player knew the position and it was natural to them. He is trying to shoehorn too many players in right now. And the players individually, and you mentioned James Clark, James McLean, we're talking about other players. I feel sorry for them. Like young Josh was taken off at halftime the other night. I mean, to say that he was working off scraps was an understatement. Everything just looks so disjointed. And I can see the players starting to get frustrated as well. So they need to sit down as a squad, as a manager, and need to get a formation and a way of playing. They're not doing a low block. They're not doing high press. They're not doing a mid block. They're not playing the transitions. They're not playing high tempo. I honestly don't know what formation they're playing or what type of identity or philosophy that they're using. He needs to go back to what was successful last year. And if that means upsetting a few people, then that's what he has to do. Because at the end of the day, it's not working. Now, I'm not saying that this group of players or this manager is not working. I'm just saying what they've come up with together is not working. They need to get something that they're all comfortable with because they haven't started a game. I mean, they're getting into this habit, and I don't want to make this sound bad. They're getting in this habit to make every team that plays against them, they look good. Sligo looked brilliant for an hour. Dundalk were very good. Waterford were excellent for 50 minutes. Rovers, Bows looked good, solid, didn't fit. Rovers looked unbelievable in the first half the other night. Like, that has to stop. Derry were brilliant at frustrating people in that formation that they were comfortable with. Hitting teams on the break with Mickey Duffy, and now they've got Josh, now they've got Clark with a little bit of pace, or capitalising on a mistake, or getting a set piece. I said it before, I don't think Tiernan plays this free-flowing, attractive way of playing. But he's really good at playing the way they played in the last 10 games. It's really effective and it gets wins. So I would like to see him get back to that with tempo and intensity, especially at home. He's not using the pitch. He's not using the fans properly. And it started in the first 10 minutes of the first home game. I have never seen the Brandywell as ready for a season as I did that night. And Derry allowed Sligo to pass the ball back and forth to the keeper of the centre half for 10 minutes. And it just, the whole thing just deflated right away. So the team's got to give the crowd something to talk about, and they've got to get the intensity and tempo back into the way they're playing.
Yeah, very well said, Gareth. Listen, time is against us, I'm afraid, folks. We've had to go with a slightly truncated podcast this week just because we had a limited time to record in the studio. But we will maybe focus a little bit more on Bows and Galway United. Those two meet at Daly Mount Park. And of course, Sligo Rovers will be in action against Shamrock Rovers as well on Friday night. So we might focus on those four clubs a little bit more next week. Bows, of course, coming into this game, top of the table. Salo Diallo came off the bench last week in their game. Chris Twardek playing against his former club, I should say. He's got a goal and assist already this season. It should be interesting to see how he gets on at Daly Mount Park. And look, the meeting of the Rovers, that's you'd be kind of thinking Shamrock Rovers should be the favourites there, especially with Jack Byrne, if he can continue the type of form he has been on over the last couple of games. But lots to look at next week on the podcast, and we will come back next week to our Ask the Experts. Gareth, hopefully Vinny will be back in action. Ben Symes, you'll be going to a, you're not going to a game this Friday night, but we will have LOI late night, won't we, on Friday?
We will have LOI late night, yeah. Shane Keegan and Barry Murphy will be in the hot seat. I'm taking a week off. Looking forward to Monday's game, so should be at a, I'll be at Pat's on Monday. So
Pat's on Monday night.
Yeah. So
where I'll be hopefully down at Talca Park. Gareth McGlynn, you'll be taking on all the games, I'm sure, over the weekend.
No, I'm going to, I'll be at Richmond on Monday, and I'll be in the Brandon on Friday. It's a big week for Derry. We at home to Drogheda then on Friday.
Great stuff. Listen, Ben assured me he's going to get you curry chips down at Richmond Park on Monday night.
Good lad, Ben.
So only
enjoy
the best.
That. Great stuff, lads. And thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with the LOI pod and Off the Ball.
Cheers, man.
The LOI pod. On Off the Ball, catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.